This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Welcome to Yak Radio, a radio show that's about, well, who knows? It's a different topic every week, but Yak Radio is always full of information to help you and your family get through life. Now, here's your Yak Radio host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome. You are listening to, I don't know, what is it today? I guess it's Yak Radio today. Yeah, it's Yak
Radio. Yak Radio.
Yeah, we'll do Yak Radio today. It's going to be a fun show. Second hour is going to be more fun, but you're going to have to hang on for that. Brought to you by Southwest Point of Sale. If you have a liquor store, grocery store, or just a little business and you're looking to find cashiers and you can't find them, well, I've got just the plan for you, Southwest Point of Sale. That's what they specialize in. All the big boys are doing it, and they make it very cost-effective. Wouldn't cost you more than a cash register. Since labor costs are off the charts, so check them out. Go to 800-540-2149, 800-540-2149, or go to southwestpointofsale.com. Talk to Jeff or Mark. Thing I like the most about this is you can do all your updates and everything off your phone, which makes absolutely no sense to me. But you get 7-day, 24-hour-day service. So if you're open, they're open. That's right. If you have a problem, call them. They don't care. They'll come, and they will hook you up. Southwest Point of Sale. And when you do call them, do me a favor. Tell them you heard it right here on KCBQ. Also, big shout-out, San Diego Propane. Well, I tell you what, nobody does it better. SDPropane.com. If you're looking for any kind of propane service, they are it. West Escondido Auto and Trans, 4 locations. Just go to westautomotivegroup.com, NAPA Auto Care, ASC certified, AAA approved. Nobody does it better. And I know
actually
why.
5 locations.
Oh, did you get another one?
Yeah, Oceanside.
Yeah, I didn't put it on there. Thanks for reminding me that since they're on this morning yesterday morning at 8 o'clock. westautomotivegroup.com. All right, talk to my good friends Andy and Mercedes Lillibridge. They're doing it again. They're off and running. They're doing the Alcan 5000 2024. In a vehicle called the Grenadier. Never heard of it? You and me both. Take a listen.
Well, guess what, folks? The Alcan 5000 is right around the corner, and the Lilienthals are at it again. They just can't get enough of snow, ice, sleet, and freezing half to death. But that's okay. They enjoy it. We got Mercedes on the line along with hubby Andy. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right.
We're doing great. Thanks for having us on the show.
How far out are you guys from the event?
We are under 90 days.
Wow. What are you driving this year?
We are driving a 2024 INEOS Grenadier.
What the heck is that?
The INEOS Grenadier is a four-door SUV. It is a new manufacturer from a company called INEOS. INEOS is a big company based in the UK. This is their first foray into vehicles. It looks like a little bit like an older Land Rover Defender, but it is not. And it's a four-wheel drive. It's got a 3-liter BMW turbo engine in it, solid axles, and it's pretty neat.
The new manufacturer is INEOS Automotive, and it's part of a global conglomerate called INEOS Group. And it's one of 16 different businesses, I believe. And it's a multi-billion-dollar company, and it's mainly chemical, oil, gas, and that type of thing based in the UK.
Do they sell that vehicle in the U.S. yet?
They will be. They're just literally rolling on the showroom floors, and I think the very first deliveries have just started taking place the last few days, as a matter of fact.
Interesting. Well, you'll have to send me the PR contact, and if we can get one into San Diego, I'll definitely do some television and some interviews with them as well. So,
yeah.
For folks that don't know what the Alcan 5000 is, why don't you kind of give us a little rundown.
Yeah, so the Alcan 5000 Rally in 2024 will be its 40th year iteration. So it started back in 1984, and it runs like the Olympics. So every 2 years, it's the winter version, then the summer, then the winter version. And essentially, it's a huge, long endurance rally, road rally. So it's typically over 5,000 miles, goes about 10 days, and it's time speed distance rally. So, you know, we're doing our second winter iteration, and a lot of the times it goes up and above the Arctic Circle. So we're starting near Seattle, going all the way over to Yellowknife and heading back down over to Whitehorse, all the way up to Fairbanks, up to Coldfoot if we do the optional extreme, which we always do because we are extreme like that, and then going down to Valdez and then finishing in Anchorage. So next year's rally start will be February 21st and ending in March 1st.
Well, I went to Coldfoot last year just so I would know what the heck you're talking about. And I didn't do it in the winter. I did it in the summer. And let me tell you what, folks, you've never seen more beautiful country. I've been on a lot of press events. I've been to a lot of places. But when I went to Alaska and went to Coldfoot and I was so hooked on that country, I can't even begin to tell you. But I don't know how it would be in the winter. I mean, you're going to be challenged extensively, but I'm sure this car company is really excited about you using their vehicle. Are any more of their vehicles going to be in the race, or are you going to be running the only one?
So there were a couple of other people who had signed up actually with Grenadiers, but I think that we at this point are going to be the only team with one.
Yeah, there were privateers, but I don't think that their shipment's going to be in time. And the other one, they had a Land Rover as their second vehicle, and I think that they know that Land Rover. They've driven it obviously for a long time. It's older, so they don't mind getting the gravel rash, the busted windshield, that kind of thing. Because when you drive up in the Arctic in Alaska, you know, things happen. You don't get the vehicle back in shape when you as you drive in the beginning. So I think they're taking the Land Rover instead.
It's definitely an event that is not easy on things like paint or glass.
Or underbodies.
With the amount of gravel and whatnot up there, you're almost assured you'll have a cracked windshield. You can very well crack headlights. It's very commonplace.
And underbody for rust. Too. Yeah. I mean, rock salt is up there like crazy too.
Totally. And my wife's cousin and I were in trouble when the guy put a third spare tire in the back of our SUV.
yes, exactly.
So they say that the winter one is actually easier on tires than the summer one because all the dirt and rocks and whatnot are covered up with snow and ice. And I mean, you'll hit the occasional, pothole or something like that on the ice, but in the summer when we did it, we brought two spare tires. We'll probably just bring one for the winter.
Right, and this year we're mandated in the winter to run three-peak snow-rated tires, and so this year we're going to be running non-studded tires, and we're doing 65, 70, 17 Michelin ice, X-Ice snow tires.
Ah, and you've told all the truckers, and you've told all the truckers that go up the Dalton Highway to park your vehicles until you guys get done, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. When we drove the Dalton in 2020, we found out that road is definitely a haul road, and it's really owned by the truckers. And it was honestly some of the hardest driving I've ever done. You know, it's getting dark, it's narrow, there's blind hills, blind corners, it's all ice, there's tons of semi traffic, and it's like 35 below zero. So it is a challenge, that's for sure.
Right. And these truck drivers do not know what a speed limit is.
No. No, especially in the winter.
Yeah, well, you should try when it's dry. They go even faster. We had a semi coming at us, and I looked at my Jeff, and Jeff looked at me, and we got off the road because this guy went by us, and he could have rolled us over. The wind was so strong. So you guys have more challenges other than the Terra Firma. I mean, you've got other vehicles. How many vehicles will be in the event?
So there's generally 40 vehicles that are signed up for the winter event. They range from things like Jeeps and four-wheel drives and whatnot, all the way down to people who are running front-wheel drive Mini Coopers.
Yeah.
The winner in 2020 was actually a rear-wheel drive Ford Capri.
A little Capri.
That was rally prepped, and it was a rear-wheel drive, but he drove that sucker like a rally car. So, but there's, in my opinion, there's three things you want on the Alcan 5000 for a car. You want something with decent ground clearance, something that's comfortable, and something that's got enough power to get past those semi-trucks when you need to.
I would never pass a semi. Are you crazy?
There are certain points you need to.
Maybe not on the Dalton, but
no,
other
no.
places.
Carefully, shall we say carefully.
Yeah.
Giving them a very, very, very wide berth. Let's just say that.
But I didn't see any five-star hotels where you guys are going to spend the night.
Yeah, we use the word hotel lightly.
Motel?
It's pretty much what's open up there. So, you know, there will be well over, you know, 100 people that will be on the rally, including staff and passengers and that kind of thing. So, but we do stay at motels. There's no camping at 40 below zero. And, you know, none of them are terrible by any means. I mean, they're not the Ritz-Carlton, but, you know, it's not too bad.
Well, and by the time you roll in, I mean, in 2020 when we did our very first rally in a Mitsubishi Pajero right-hand drive diesel that we had, which was our own vehicle as privateers.
Slow.
We were very, very slow, and we had just eked on off the wait list at the tail end, so we were back of the bus. We jokingly said with our buddy cars, we were team, quote-unquote, back of the bus. But that being said is, you know, all the restaurants and, you know, if you had any that were lucky enough to be in the motel, were always closed by the time we got there. So we ate our very fair share of mountain houses for both breakfast and for dinner. So worked out well. You know, you got to do what you got to do.
All right, folks, let's do some clarification. Andy and Mercedes' level of comfort is in the tank. Because when I went to Coldfoot, and I walked over to, I would call them C-vans with carts or a cots. That's their idea of luxury? No, 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 no. I ate at Coldfoot for breakfast, and I didn't see the sign that said, if you want your food warmed up, there's a microwave, okay? So I ate my cold eggs and my cold potatoes and my cold
Yuck. Yeah, but that's yeah. Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah. I got my shirt that says I made it to Coldfoot. I wanted to go to Prudhoe Bay, but we just, you know, unfortunately, we didn't have enough time, but we're going to go back and do it again. Would I do the Alcan? Absolutely not. I am way too old to do that. Now, you guys are going to do this event. You're going to make millions of dollars when you win.
Our goal is to finish. Our goal is to finish and finish strong and finish and review the vehicle. I mean, you know, the number one thing is you know, we're automotive journalists. So, you know, we're testing the INEOS Grenadier. And, you know, they've got 1.1 million miles of testing underneath their belt as far as this is their very first vehicle of a brand new manufacturer. And a lot of it was severe duty testing in the Scandinavian Arctic. But we're the first people that are going to do it on a competitive level.
Hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break because I got a feeling I'm going to give you two segments instead of one. We'll be right back listening to the crazy ones running the Alcan 5000. Stay tuned.
All right, folks. Welcome back to Yak Radio with Dave Stahl, FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Southwest Point of Sale, 800-540-2149. Go cashierless. Save yourself some time and money. You'll be totally happy. 800-540-2149. Also, big shout out to South Bay Auto House. You've got a used Mercedes-Benz and you're looking for a dealer alternative. Man, I'm telling you, you cannot beat South Bay Auto House. All his techs are factory trained. They've got their own in-house parts department. They buy and sell used Mercedes-Benz. They'll even put a bid on your used Mercedes if you're thinking about trading into the dealer. you might find them giving you more money. Auto House, they guys are just absolutely fantastic. Gary and Rick really do a good job. Go to AutoHouseSouthBay.com, AutoHouseSouthBay.com. Tell them you heard it right here on KCBQ. And Bumper Doc, Santee, Scratches, Dings, and Dents, 8711 Magnolia Street. Do your headlight restoration. Do paint work. Do body work. They'll even do a complete repaint. They'll also window tint your vehicle. Go to SanteeBumperDoc.com, 619-258-0433. Make sure you stop by and say hello to Angel. You'll really appreciate that visit. All right, let's get back to the second half with Mercedes and Andy cruising the Alcan 5000.
All right, we're back, and we're talking to Mercedes and Andy Lilienthal. They're running the Alcan 5000. They didn't learn anything last time, so I guess they got to try it again. But this time they're doing it in a Grenadier. You've never heard of it, but if you Google it, you might be highly impressed. It is coming to a neighborhood near you. Mercedes and Andy are going to put it through the paces, and that 5,000 relates to kilometers or miles?
That's miles. So the rally is at least 5,000 miles. They've had Alcan 5000s that go over 6,000 miles scheduled. So, and that's just on route. That doesn't include any, like, getting to Seattle. There was a team in 2020 that drove a Jeep Wrangler from New Jersey all the way to Seattle to start the event and then do 5,000-plus miles. So that's 5,000 miles on the rally. And so you have a you'll usually have a time-speed distance section for competition in the morning and then what we call a transit to get to the next place. That might be the start of another time-speed distance rally. It might just be the end of the day. But whereas your local TSC club might have a transit of, say, like 10 miles to get to the next spot, Alcan can be easily 500 miles.
500 miles? Wait a second. No. Let the navigator talk here. 739 miles. Could be a transit, not 500 miles.
Well, 500 miles could still be a transit.
Well, yeah, 500 miles could be, but yeah, no. Let's just say endurance can be for your bladder, too, in addition to the car.
Yeah. And how long have you guys been married?
Almost 20 years.
In
unison.
You get an award. I know people that will do a short rally and divorce. So for you guys to be doing this for 20 years, who was the wild one when you got married? Was it Mercedes or was it Andy?
Oh, I don't know.
We're both wild in our own.
Yeah, we both have our own wild streaks with regards to, you know, one thing we've always loved, and we even met on the way to a car show on a road trip. So it's always kind of been a thing for us, long road trips, pushing it with regards to vehicle activities, especially long distance stuff. It's just something we love, and I was just talking to a friend about this the other day. Was Alcan is one of those things that can just get into your blood. Like, it can just become this thing that you just can't get enough of, and I think that's the case for us.
And we love cars, we love travel, we love like-minded people, and we love adventure. I mean, the Alcan 5000 is the mother of all rallies, and this is going to be our third one. You know, it's just, we love the challenge.
So, are you running the Grenadier bone stock? Do you do any modifications? Because I know you have a lot of people in your neighborhood that help you with tire, suspension, racks, that type of thing.
Yeah, so for the most part, Ineos has a pretty robust catalog of accessories. So they're going to put on their roof rack, their light bar. It has a rear ladder to get up on that. It's going to have rock sliders, a winch, all those kinds of things. To it, we're adding minimal things. So we are changing over, as Mercedes alluded to. We're changing from the BF Goodrich all-trains to a Michelin X-Ice dedicated snow tire. We'll run recovery equipment like Max Trax just in case. We'll have some Factor 55 and Warren Industries recovery equipment. And then likely a host of Skosh mounts for things like our phones and communications, that kind of stuff, along with headlamps from Led Lenser. And
so we can see in the dark, because that's kind of important to be able to recover.
Yeah, there it gets dark so early. I mean, it'll be dark, you know, it'll be twilight at 4 you know, if not earlier than that. So having the ability to, you know, look at maps and all that stuff in the dark is important. So those headlamps actually come in real handy, especially when you turn them on the red light setting.
Yeah, exactly, without a shadow of a doubt. So why do I get the feeling you're going to end up buying this Grenadine when it's done? Because you like oddball vehicles.
Well, if somebody can maybe help sponsor that to happen, that would be great. They're not the cheapest vehicles, but no new vehicle is cheap anymore. They're all quite pricey. But, we're excited to take it on the road and test it out. We're going to have a lot of articles. We'd love to be on your show again after the fact, podcast, yeah. Things like that. So stay tuned.
We have to. So have you got the vehicle yet?
No, well,
not
we
yet.
Should take a delivery of it in early February. That's the plan.
You know you're going to get it the day before the event.
No, don't say that.
Hey, you know what? If we get it, as long as we get it, that's all that matters. I'm fully confident in my ability to drive it.
Well,
you
need to drive it, but I need to plan out how to store everything. We've got to pack it. I need to plan it. I need to do all the navigational comms and the emergency comms and wire everything for the interior. There's a lot of planning that needs to happen inside and around that vehicle yet.
So I think you just noticed the difference between Mercedes and me. I'm just like, yeah, whatever, let's get done. We've got all the stuff to do.
Yeah, you know who's the planner for the interior, so, and yeah.
Yeah, well, no, hey, Mercedes, you know when you get out there, Andy's going to say, hey, where's the so-and-so? Oh, you don't know where it's at? Let me get it for you.
Yes, that's so accurate. I'm not even going to lie.
Well, and one of the things that worked really well with us, we had roam boxes in 2020, and then we had front-runner boxes in 2022. We actually noted, and believe you me, it worked well. We noted on pieces of paper, we printed out what was in each box and we laminated them, and then we gorilla taped each box, what was in what, and we had them front facing so we could easily see what was, you know, in each box, and it made life a lot easier at 40 below when you're like, oh crap, where's my X? And I needed to get it, and I needed it in a jiffy, and it worked.
So what do you, or does anybody supply you, or what do you have for cold weather gear? Because if you have to get out of this vehicle, you can't get out in your sweats and T-shirt and a parka.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, so Mercedes and I both grew up in the upper Midwest, Minnesota and Wisconsin, respectively. And so we're used to cold weather. We understand cold weather. My late father used to tell me, you know, as a kid, you've got to, you know, in January, February in Minnesota, when the wind chill is 70 below zero, you know, you got to dress like you might have to walk out of it if you got in an accident, if your car broke down. And so we take that same approach on the Alcan. So we have, you know, Arctic boots. We have big down jackets, all the Arctic gloves. We're very prepared for cold weather and used to it, granted. I say that, and it's 57 degrees out here in Portland, Oregon right now. So,
and we've got stuff that's rated. We've got technical clothing, and I mean, and we've spent way too much money on that type of stuff. I mean, you know,
you're missing my point. This is the time to reach out to the cold weather gear industry and say, have I got a deal for you?
And have, right.
And have them outfit you from head to toe, and tell them that not only will you put it in all of your publications, you'll put it on radio, and if for whatever reason you ever got to San Diego, I would put you on TV. That's the way you need to roll with this. Quit writing checks and start helping these companies that would love your kind of publicity, because you guys, I mean, it's amazing what you two do. And what a side story for any corporation that makes gear and equipment that you do and you use, everything from lighting to cook stoves to navigation. And speaking of navigation, do you get to use navigation? Because, you know, some rallies like the Rebel, it's a piece of paper and a map.
Right. Right, yeah, just to close quickly on the subject of the clothing, we have pitched some organizations that are local to here We have not gotten lucky, believe it or not, for clothing in cold weather yet, because they all want hiking and mountaineering and things like that, and they don't see an ancillary subject like us as being fruitful yet. But, hey, that's all right. You know, it's one of those things. We believe in the gear. We bought the gear, and it's great. But for us, with as far as the technology, we're running the SOP class, which is a seat of pants class. So we are able to use like a simple GPS that shows street names and things. Because, again, especially the winter Alcan, they don't want you to die because they don't want you to get lost. But we're not running an unlimited class. They can run computers, you know, CURTA calculators, those types of things. We're just running essentially simple, you know, calculators and
GPS,
you know,
speedometer. But you can in the Alcan in the SOP class, you can run a basic GPS as well if you wanted to.
Right.
Well, as long as you got a sat phone, that's the main thing.
Yeah, well, that's right. Sat phone, so they require like a Garmin or a Spot in reach, right. So they have tracking on everybody, and then also emergency comms, too. So we have that doubled up, and then they run a buddy car system. It's required to run a buddy car system of at least 2 to 4 cars. Usually right. They're rally cars that have numbers right next to you. I think we're, car number 15 or something right now, depending on if people drop out. People, you know, things always shift a little bit before the Alcan as far as, you know, the last 90 days or so, who drops out and whatnot. So there are safety provisions in place. There's a great sweeps team. Love the sweeps team. They work their tails off. The staff from the Alcan are just bar none wonderful. And the organizer, the owner, Jerry Hines, and his wife and everybody, they just work tirelessly to make sure that this rally just goes off without a hitch. And you know, hats off to those guys and gals.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go because I have to go put a coat on right now. And we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you when you get back, and we'll do a recap. So, man, be safe. Have fun. Take lots of pictures. And if people want to follow you on social media, where are you going to upload?
They can check us out at Crankshaft Culture. That's both on Instagram, Facebook, all the social media, YouTube, everything.
Yep, I'll be posting daily reels, daily posts and things as best as I have service.
All right, well, have fun, and we'll talk to you, March?
March,
yep.
All right, look forward to it. Take care, have fun.
Thanks for having us.
And Merry Christmas to you, too.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Likewise.
All right. Take care.
All right, folks. Welcome back to Listen to Yak Radio with Dave Stahl, FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. This hour is brought to you by Southwest Point of Sale. Go to southwestpos.com. 800-540-2149. They replace your cashier if you're having trouble hanging on to one in a gas station, grocery store, liquor store, small business. You know, it's tough out there. I mean, kids just don't seem to want to work like they used to. If you get one that does, great. If not, check these guys out. They can come out to your location, check out your equipment, and if their equipment mates with their equipment for as less than what you would pay for a cash register, you could be totally hooked up. You could do all of your work offline. They even have a meat and produce scale. And the best part about it is 7-day-a-week, 24-hour-a-day service. Nobody, absolutely nobody beats that, let me tell you. Also, San Diego Gear and Axle, scratches, San Diego Gear, anything undercarriage, two-wheel, four-wheel, all-wheel. Steve is the man. He's got brand-new parts. He's got used parts. He can tell you what fits, what doesn't fit. You can do upgrades. You can do differential work. And he's a big drag racer. So if you're into drag racing, he might even have a few tips for you. Go to SD Gear Axle. .com. They're over there on Pioneer Road, 858-449-5656. All right. I had a premonition. I had a thought. We're all, you know, having issues with electric vehicles. The government is insisting that you like one and you're going to get one, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Also, there's breaking news. Just want to let you know about 3 hours ago.
Yes.
Canada just announced that by 2035, every vehicle is going to be zero emissions as well. So now the Canadian government's forcing people to.
Well, of course. Trudeau will have this all figured out. And how much sun do they have up there?
Oh, I know.
And how much wind do they have up there?
Here's the thing. I talked about this with Brian last week, and the one thing I kept thinking of over and over was that the government is pushing EVs on us specifically. Right. But then I realized, no, the law says it's just zero emissions. So Brian had a little bit more of an optimistic kind of point of view, I would say, because he's talking about hydrogen vehicles.
Well, sure.
So
have you ever dealt with a hydrogen vehicle?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I thought there's still prototypes out
there. No. There's two filling stations in San Diego County. Because a lot of your garbage trucks uses hydrogen.
Right.
So I had a Honda.
No, but I didn't think they had one on sale on the market.
Toyota has a Mariah, and Honda has, I can't remember the name of it. But, and is that the way to go? Probably so. You know, another one is nuclear power. There's no reason why, but everybody's so afraid of the word nuclear. Mm-hmm. But stop and think about this. I think I even mentioned this to you off air. Maybe I did. I didn't. Back in the 1900s, when we were still trucking along with horse and buggy. And you know how much horse manure we dropped on the ground during that era?
I bet it's a lot.
Tons. Tons. So we decide we're going to go gas, or we're going to go electric, or we're going to go steam. We really don't know which direction we're going to go. So imagine a conference room and all the big dogs are sitting in there and they're saying, okay, I'm done with this horse manure. It's just getting to be a pain. We got to go another direction. They says, well, what do you think? All right, well, let's look at this. How about steam? No. You can't do steam because the consumer can go to the creek, get a bucket of water.
Yep.
Put it. No, we can't make any money doing that. All right. Well, how about batteries? Yeah, you know, we could do batteries, but boy, I mean, we don't go very far right now. The batteries weigh a ton. They're a little on the toxic side if you get into a car accident. Mm-hmm. Well, what about gas? There's an idea. Yeah, we could make our own gasoline. We make it. You know, we have the infrastructure to do it. We could make it, sell it super cheap. Yeah, let's do that. So that's what they did. But all of a sudden they said, all right, but now they didn't mandate it. They offered it. And the only ones that could buy gas-powered automobiles were the super rich because they were stupid expensive.
Of course.
But you could also buy battery and you could also buy steam. So if you're a steam manufacturer, Stanley, to give you an example, if you want to take a chance and dump all your money into that and think that's the future, go for it. Mr. Battery, did you know Henry Ford's wife refused to drive a Ford because it was smelly and it made noise?
I believe it.
And she drove an electric car. Okay. But Henry would never, he was not happy about that. So anyway, so now let's roll into 2023. And we got this hotshot designer salesman named Brendan Thomas. And he has got just the ticket. So he comes to the government and he says, have I got a propulsion system for you? You don't have to worry about trying to generate electricity. You don't have to do any of the above.
It is easy to make, to store.
The only downside, your family's going to have to sit on top of about 20 gallons of flammable fuel.
True. Yeah.
Not for you to worry. It'll be safe. They're not going to blow
it's
up.
Not the Hindenburg or anything like that.
Can you imagine? So, but let's go back. When the government decided that going gas was the way to go, did we have roads that could accommodate these type of cars? No. Mm-mm. Did we have gas stations? No. Did we have repair shops? No. So fast forward, and guess what? We're in the same boat, except they're mandating electric. There is no infrastructure. I mean, they've got, what, $7 billion to put in charging stations, and guess what? They're not in yet.
Right.
And this is 2 years in the making. They gave the companies that are putting the charging stations in a giveaway on maintenance. They don't have to maintain them if they break. And I think the last number I seen, 60% of them are broken.
I believe it.
So they're not working. And I just had a friend of mine who gets up way earlier than I do, drove through Mission Valley where all those new apartment complexes are, mm-hmm. just east of it. It might have been at the Walmart where they have all the chargers there. At 4 in the morning, they were 40 deep. And it's guys like you that have electric cars that are trying to go to work that don't have a charger in their apartment, so they have to get up 3:30 to get in line to get a 30-minute quick charge to get to work.
Right, and imagine the cost of that, too, on top
of
that. So,
if you look at the cost factor, electric to gasoline, electric would equate to $17 a gallon compared to what we're paying for gas.
Yes. But also, I just wanted to mention, there's only one station here in San Diego County that has hydrogen. The other one just shut down, and they're still building two other ones in San Diego County. So,
But you know what the problem is with hydrogen?
Again, the flammability portion.
Nope. None of the above. The tank is so heavy because it has to be pressurized.
Right.
And it's so heavy. I mean, and that's the other thing, too. A lot of people don't realize. Ask anybody with an electric car how long their tires are lasting.
Oh, I didn't think of that, actually. I'll have to talk to Brian about that, too.
Ask Brian. Yep. The weight of these electric cars, you're getting 8 to 12,000 miles out of a set of tires.
Yeah. And keep in mind, electric vehicle tires are a lot more expensive.
Duh. Go try putting a set of cheapy tires. In fact, I don't even know a tire shop that will even do it. And I heard a memo came out from Elon Musk, who just recalled every Tesla he's ever built.
Wow.
Everyone that might not want to put it in the garage.
Oh, yeah. I've heard. Not Tesla specifically. I've heard of other companies.
Just
electric vehicles.
Yeah, might not want to put it in the garage.
Right.
And then the fire departments are actually allowing the cars that catch fire to burn to the ground. Mm-hmm. Because it's, I think, 15,000 gallons of water to put one out.
Right, and they just don't have...
They don't have the capacity in the fire trucks.
Right.
So, is it dead in the water? Probably not. I think as we get technically more advanced and we put more R&D into it, problem is Ford lost $3 billion last year. They're on track to lose $4 billion this year with a B. They just shut down their idea of building a battery plant. They're not going to – I mean, everybody's cutting back because it's not working.
Well, I was going to say two things. Number one, very quickly to the Ford point, I want to say most of that is actually towards the strike that happened earlier this year. They lost a lot of money off that strike and trying to get a deal going.
No, this was strictly battery vehicle sales. Okay. Yeah, no, I know. They did. They lost a lot. They always do when they have unions. Union issues. They always do.
Yeah.
But just think of if they switch to electric, it doesn't take as many people to build an electric car as it does to build a gas car.
Mm-hmm.
So union, be careful what you wish for, because if they do push everything, then all of a sudden you're going to lose all kinds of union employees as well. So there's more negatives right now than there are positives. But the thing that bothers me is you cannot mandate it. And then they just canceled gas-powered leaf blowers.
Yep, and mowers for that reason.
And guess what? They're going to put your butt in jail if they catch you with $10,000 fine and a year in jail.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, hey, you got to fix it.
And then going back to your point about when cars were first introduced, but you notice how our infrastructure since then have slowly progressed into making that infrastructure. It's the same thing here. So, but like you said, the main point which your argument was that governments are mandating the fact about these EVs.
Yep.
Back then, they weren't mandating fossil fuels.
No,
they
it was offer. Mandating, yes. It was offer. You had a choice.
Yes.
And then once
they saw that the consumers were all buying the vehicles, the government then stepped in and was like, okay, we should probably build some infrastructures to go with this.
But it took until Eisenhower to have a cross-country freeway
system. Our government works slow, okay? If we have an issue ahead of us, we don't work like that.
So here, I'm going to say this and then we'll go to break. So there's three guys coming to the White House to repair a fence. And the first guy, let's say, is from Tennessee. He says, all right, it's going to cost $700. $300 for material. $300 for
labor.
My labor. And $100 profit for me. Then the next guy is from Tennessee. He says, well, I can do it for $700, and I want $300 for material, $300 for my people, and $100 for me. So that's seven. The other one was nine. Okay, so nine and seven. And then the guy from Chicago says, he asks him, he says, $2,700. He says, $2,700. And the other two measured and, you know, spent a lot of time, you know, figuring it out. The other guy from Chicago, $2,700. So the guy from the government walks over and says, you didn't even measure? You didn't? No. It's a thousand for you and a thousand for me, and we hire the guy from Tennessee.
I like that.
Now we'll take a break. This is a You Ought to Know show. No, it's not. Yak Radio. Yak. FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Yak Radio with Dave Stahl, FM 96.1. AM 1170, The Answer. This hour is brought to you by Southwest Point of Sale. 800-540-2149. Go to southwestpos.com. Labor costs are skyrocketing. It's hard to get somebody to stand in front of a cash register. Well, Southwest has the answer. Walmart, Home Depot, and Costco do it, and it's self-checkout. Yeah, I know there's a lot of people who are not happy with self-checkout, but I got to tell you, yeah, it's one or the other, and sometimes it's better off if you don't have to deal with a cashier. If you can just check out yourself, get going, and move out. Their system provides meat and produce scales. You can do everything offline. I mean, with your iPhone. They've been doing this, God, for more years than I care to admit. Jeff or Mark will come out to your location, and if your equipment works with theirs, boom, they'll hook you up for the price of a cash register, which isn't all that much. Go to southwestpos.com. And the thing I like the most is that you get 7 day a week, 24-hour day service. If you're open, they're open. They're always there for you. John's Automotive Import Repair, 7447 University Avenue, Napa Auto Care, AAA approved, ASC certified. Warranty's good, clear across the United States, 3-year, 36,000 mile warranty. John is a super cool dude. He supports like two or three Boys and Girls Club in East County. You know, go where you know you've got a guy that gives back to the community big time. He was at KUSI this morning with me giving away a minivan that was completely refurbished and was given to a really nice family by another friend that had nominated them for a new vehicle. And, oh, my God, the tears were terrible. You know, I'm going to stick with electric vehicles for a little bit because I want everybody to know I'm not being negative. You know, I'm just being honest.
I'm the one that's negative here.
Well, no, I'm kidding. You're the one that's going to be stuck with this insanity.
I know. And did you hear Ann Carlson? She was the one that came up with this idea. She's stepping down from her position of Department of Transportation, National Highway Traffic Safety Administrator.
Jeez, I wonder why.
I wonder why too.
So if it wasn't, and that's why I kind of told that little joke in the beginning or at the end of the last segment about the guys coming out repairing the fence at the White House. You know, that's that the corruption that is in our government is just astronomical. I mean, when you got senators alleged, like Menendez, alleged doing these crooked things, I mean, it's just, you're in the government, for goodness sakes. I mean, you've got the premier job, you know, and you, to me, how could you even think, you know, of being corrupt? But, you know, maybe because when I was little, my dad put me in jail when I was 11 for lying. And that kind of, you know, scared straight. But going back to electric vehicles, we didn't even talk about the fact that there's nothing there for us. Guys like Brendan and I that don't have six-digit incomes. I say this to the car manufacturers all the time. And it harkens back to Henry Ford. Where is that $10,000 electric car we can buy that looks good? It's got 300 plus mile range, and I can get a better charge on 110. I don't need 240 or a high speed charger. Where is it? And they all look at me like deer in a headlight. Now, they're losing money on every single electric car they sell. Why? Because they are getting subsidies from the government. Why? Because it's not your money. It's not their money. It's your money. So they can do all of these crazy. You know, it's funny. I try not to post political garbage, but I posted this the other day, and I actually got some feedback where it was not positive. The biggest scam in life, paying taxes on money you make, taxes on money you spend, and taxes on things you own that you already pay taxes on with already taxed money. Doesn't that seem a little crooked to you, Brendan?
Well, not only that, there was that story about in Illinois where they're supposed to get rebate offers if you buy EV vehicles, and the state government was very, very suspicious in terms of having certain details in there, and it turned out that 60% of those electric vehicle owners mm-hmm. actually didn't fall under the rebate, so therefore the government get to keep their money or their their tax purposes, sure. for that matter. I mean, come on,
well,
suspicious
it's like,
a little bit, huh?
It's like the border. You know, if a Border Patrol agent catches you and you say that the country you're coming from is repressive and you're being persecuted, then you automatically get asylum. But one of the news reporters had interviewed that same exact guy and asked him, why are you coming to the U.S.? And he said, man, I just need a better job. You know, I just don't have a good job where I'm at. I just want to get a better job. So you're right. There's no checks and balances. None whatsoever.
No, but and again, the government should have set up something prior to this whole situation. But it's the fact that every single agency that they have already has so much on their plate to handle as it is.
Right.
So either make a new agency, try to profit try to budget that out of this new budget, which, by the way, we're still having an issue with, and we could have another government shutdown by the end of this year.
Oh,
too,
sure.
So,
oh yeah.
Oh, what a surprise.
But they don't care. Their paychecks won't be affected. Right.
I was busy there. You're right. Because, again, the paychecks get delayed, and then they'll just get paid the same amount of money right
Hey, is Nick on the line?
Yeah, they're both on the line, actually.
All right. We are going to have an awesome show. If you like puppies, and you like dogs, and you like cars, I've got all lined up for you. Operation Frodo and Animal Rescue Rigs Radio coming up next. Don't touch that dial. This is FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer.